It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game on a Friday. It's Gil Alexander. Thanks for hanging out with us, man. Appreciate it. Another pandemic special. Action. If you want action this weekend, we got action for you. Already, we have got Bundesliga picks from Paul Carr. Some NASCAR names to keep in mind from Jeff Colyandro. Lou Finocchiaro is midway through, roughly, his UFC picks. Chris Felica still got horse racing picks. Flatter gave a couple horse racing picks as well. So we're all over the place, man. Lou Finocchiaro rejoins us once again, kind enough to stay over. See, Lou, I didn't do that thing where I waited to do it on air and right before the commercial, I'm like, hey, Lou, you wouldn't mind staying over, would you? I didn't put you on the spot like that. We actually agreed on this off air, didn't we?
No problem. I appreciate that, but I'm a natural ham, so I'm always willing to take as much time as I can.
Just in case people thought I was keeping you hostage or something. Before we get back into your picks, and already we have Ivanov as a one-unit play and then Weaver as a half-unit play, Weaver being a big dog. Before we resume, I started the show talking about, because I know the other thing you bet is the National Football League. We all love the National Football League. I started the show talking about they're tabling any onside kick rule changes. And I was curious how you felt about this as a fan and as a bettor. My whole thing is, because I think if you take off our betting hats, and this is what I got into this. My buddy E, Felica, and I are on three-way text that we get into these debates about this stuff. From a fan standpoint, like, we totally get why they've got to do something about this onside kick that currently exists where you can't have a running star. You got to have five guys on each side. And the rate of recovery is so negligible that it's like, what are we doing? But man, from a betting standpoint, am I happy they didn't do anything with that thing? Because it would just, I mean, Plinko on steroids with that thing and sort of takes away some live betting opportunities, I think. I don't know how you feel about it.
I really, in all the sports I cover, I try and keep away from that kind of an opinion. And what I try and do is wait and see if a rule is instituted, and then I try and incorporate it into my DNA as fast as I possibly can to gain advantage over a marketplace that may not. So I think you described it perfectly. The percentages of effective onside kicks in the day and age of this safety in the NFL has basically negated the effectiveness of the play, and they're groping for ways to try and increase the percentage of success in a situation like that. And I'll be interested to see what they come up with, but I don't have strong opinions either way.
I love how you just let the game come to you is what you're saying. You just let it come to you. Then you react. I understand. By the way,
it took a long time to get there. Let me tell you.
What year? I'm guessing that's early 70s Raiders behind you. I see Stabler and LaMonica and Hendricks. Is that early 70s Raiders portrait?
Yeah, that's actually Raider greats. I can't work this thing. I mean, there's just a montage of Raiders greats. LaMonica, Stabler. So it's a montage. It's all autographed. Yeah. The Mad Stork is in there. Jim Otto, all autographed. I do a lot of autograph stuff. I collect a bunch. I have a Clemente baseball card collection that I would really put up against a lot of people. I probably 30 awesome cards. Many of them different, and many of them rare.
Your baseball card collection is specifically Roberto Clemente cards?
That's all I have is Roberto Clemente, and I have probably 30 of them. Been collecting them since a little boy. I have an ancient Roman coin set, the 12 Caesars, of which I'm about halfway through. All that kind of stuff. Someday they'll throw me in the hole, and my kids will go sell that stuff for pennies on the dollar for beer money. But what the hell?
You know what used to crack me up as a kid when I would see these old Roberto Clemente cards, which predated my existence in almost every case. They were often printed with the name Bob Clemente.
Yep, many of them are Roberto Bob Clemente.
Yeah, used to as we just I'm like, really, Bob Clemente, is that what we're going with? Anyway, profiling Lou Finocchiaro. It is Gil Alexander and Lou Finocchiaro right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, however you're taking us in. All right, Lou, let's resume. Let's start with the main event, because I think this is your this is the one that you wrote pretty extensively on about in Point Spread Weekly.
It is, and we kind of have the perception of fighters going in different directions here. Gil Burns has won his last five. His last three have been at 170, which is a big note. I believe that Burns showed us by trying to fight at 155 that really he's a 55er. If anything, maybe he's a 65er. But to go up to 170, even though he's had success his last three fights, he's fought grapplers with very little striking ability. In this fight against Woodley, he takes on a man that's been in there with far greater competition. He's an ex-champion. He's got world-class wrestling, 82% takedown defense. And so Woodley, with that kind of takedown defense, and Burns being a Brazilian jiu-jitsu savant, the cat and mouse here is going to have to be, can Burns find a way to get in close to Woodley, and what kind of damage will he take coming in? Burns, I believe, has fallen in love with his striking a little bit, and he'll be far outmatched in striking with Woodley. And I believe that he may think that he can stand with Woodley, which I think is an error. And if he does, and I believe he will, I think it puts him in a real bad spot in this fight. Woodley's got a 3-inch leg reach advantage. He's got a 3-inch arm reach advantage. And he's surely the more powerful, explosive man that's been in 5-round fights before. He specifically requested this fight with Burns be a main event so that it could be 5 rounds. And for all those reasons, I handicapped Tyron Woodley maybe 250 minus 240 in this spot, Gil. But I believe the recency on Burns and the negativity on Woodley with his rap career and his recent distraction has caused these numbers to come too close. And anything under 250, I think, is a real good position on Tyron Woodley.
Okay, so I'll ask the same question of this that I asked about the match before, or the fight before with Weaver. And I guess you can ask this of any, UFC fight, but here in the main event, Woodley, 38 years old, right now around minus 185, minus 190. By the way, if he wins, it continues this trend of oldish guys winning these fights here recently. Do we wait to bet Woodley if you think the recency on Burns is such that it is, or is this one that you should bet as quickly as possible because people are going to want to bet the favorite here towards fight time?
What a great question, and I'll try and answer it. What I would do, I already have executed Woodley at 160 and 165. I do believe that the tsunami of late bettors, and every sport realizes this, I think they're going to be on Burns. I think they're on the recency train. And so I would tell people to be patient. You're still well under minus 200 here. What can it hurt to be a little bit patient and, you know, see what transpires, especially over the course of the next 3 or 4 hours as they weigh in? Woodley should make weight. He's a wrestler. He's done it before. And Burns will have no problem making 170 because he's a little bit undersized. The fact that Burns is 5 years younger does need to be mentioned. He's looking forward to taking Woodley deep. And Woodley is looking forward to trying to get Gil Burns deep.
Interesting. So I'm glad I asked because it's not a stock answer at all. So in the case of Woodley here, we might want to wait, is what you're saying, before we maybe the price will become a little more favorable as fight time approaches.
Surely no problem with somebody that jumps now, but it is my belief that that the bettors that are going to come in playing parlays and always beware of a hot underdog. I think Burns could be that, and patience could be wise. Even if you chop a nickel or a dime off, hey, yeah, 10 dimes is a dollar.
That stuff adds up, as they say, Lou. It really does over time. All right, so, and before we move on here, let's characterize this. So your picks of Woodley and Ivanov are actually your biggest picks of the card. But that's in context because the card itself is not like you're not throwing the mortgage on this. This is just sort of within the context of this card, your biggest picks are Woodley and Ivanov. But as far as UFC cards go, maybe it's not your most exciting one. Is that accurate?
It is. There's a lack of depth of talent. These guys are trying to get fighters that need to fight that are on the roster active. And so some of these fights are due diligence fights, meaning I watch, I take notes, and I set it up for a future fight. The only correction I'll make or ask for is that Ivanov would be a major release. Woodley would be a major release. I have one other major release, which would be a unit bet, all three of those. And then if we get to them, two half unit bets that would be later. We talked about Weaver. He would be a half unit bet just because his price is so obtuse.
All right. Well, let's talk about whichever others you want to talk about, because I'm fascinated by this. Have you, given what you just said, Lou, have you seen it in the bets in the fights that you are actually making a bet on? Have you seen each fighter fight before?
Oh, absolutely. I carry if there's a UFC weigh-in and event in the last 7 years, I might have missed one for a wedding, but I don't miss them. So I watch these. If I don't have film on guys that came from the Contender Series or debuters, I can get that on Fight Pass. My database is 700 plus fighters, and I track their birthday, arm, leg reach, age, of course, height, everything really, to try analytically, all those add up. So I'll roll right into the third of the major releases. And this is a hugely contrarian position. I'm benefited a little bit. The fight is Mackenzie Dern against Hannah Cyphers. And the Mackenzie Dern train is, she's a very attractive, beautiful young gal. She is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu savant. And she is off. She had a decent career at 115, but she could never make weight at 115. Had to take fights at 125, had a child, came back off the child in her last fight and got beat. I know more about this fighter than I should because she trained in Phoenix at the MMA lab for a long time. And I will say that when the lights go on, there's no better fighter than Mackenzie Dern, but to get her into the gym would be like getting humans to an all-you-can-eat vegetable buffet. It ain't going to happen. And so Dern does it with talent, and she's going in against a farm girl in Cyphers, who could pick up a tractor and carry it across the back 40. She, a little bit like Brock Weaver, very unsophisticated. She's only a brawler, but she's very strong, and she knows that Dern is going to try and attack her. Everybody and their mother is on Dern. She opened 175, 275. She's 450, or the odds right here that I'm looking at with you at 460, and the return on Cyphers 350. I don't know that I necessarily take the approach that Cyphers can win, although I love the price on her and I think she's totally a value, but I'm going to go to the over under, and I believe a bet on Cyphers means that she does well and shows well in this fight. And I absolutely think she's going to. She's been in there with big, strong strikers like Macy Barber, and Dern will not present that kind of striking threat. I believe Cyphers is going to show well for herself. I believe she knows that the UFC has put her in this fight to set her up so Dern looks good. And I'm going to go the over 1.5. Again, this is 115 pound women's fight that the stats are ridiculous that these fights go over, but most people are intoxicated with the UFC's backing of Dern, and I'm not.
Great breakdown. If nothing else, Lou, how many people just Googled Mackenzie Dern? Just check it out.
Yeah, she's a beautiful gal, and her dad is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu triple black belt, and so she was born into it. She just doesn't have a work ethic like the other girl, and to me that means something.
Okay, so over 1.5 in the Cyphers Dern fight. Was that on par with Ivanov and Woodley?
Those would be the three, Gil. Those would be my three that I will, you know, hang my hat on. And if people want a couple others, I'll throw a few, two more dogs at you. And if we go to the undercard, you got Tim Elliott, a cagey, savvy 32-year-old veteran that was going to fight a kid named Roy Val, who's moving up. It's his debut fight, but he's done really well on the lower circuit. He lost to Casey Kenney, who's also on this card. But I think these are ships going in different directions, where I'm going to take Roy Val, the 26-year-old up-and-comer, who's going to be the taller man, the man with 3 inches of reach. And in this fight, both of these guys are lefties, so expect any kind of unusual, unorthodox occurrences during the fight. But Roy Val plus 140 or so, I think that's a heck of a value on him. And then let's see, we got Weaver for a half, Roy Val for a half, and then the cipher's over with Ivanov and Tyron Woodley. And that's five wagers, but a total of 4 units of output. And we'll see how, actually that's 4.75 units of output as you count Woodley the favorite.
All right, there they are on the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. Woodley, Ivanov, and Weaver being the bigger plays, but then Cyphers, Dern, that's incorrect. It's not in the correct order. Woodley, which is it now? Which are the three that are the biggest here?
I would suggest Woodley, Ivanov, and then Cyphers versus Dern over. And then the Weaver. Yeah, the Weaver and Roy Val. You play a half on each one of those and you win one and you lose one, we'll scrape a few bits of profit and take it into the main card.
Yeah. So the plus money ones are the ones that are the more leany ones, if you will, more of leans, but the half unit plays Weaver versus Roberts, Roy Val versus Elliott. All right. And now based on your, and we'll leave you with this, Lou, based on your previous answer, when I asked you about the onside kick, you were very honest and you said, I'm one of these people who just likes to find out what it is and then react to it. So I'm not going to ask you the stereotypical question that is asked of folks. Hey, what's the UFC matchup you want to see the most? What do you think about these lines? I'm not going to get into that because I'm going to figure your answer is going to be the same. You just want to know what it is first before you play. Is that correct that I shouldn't ask? That sounds like it. I shouldn't ask.
There might be one that would supersede, and that would be Ngannou and Jones. I hold that fight with Ali Frazier one, me as a fight enthusiast. Really? That's the magnitude that I attach to that fight.
So since you brought it up, Lou, what is Ngannou about minus 130-ish right now?
Yes.
Do you think that's about right?
No, sir. I think the wrong man's favorite, and I won't ever say it again. And I hate to get too excited about something, but I want a number on that fight. And I will run to bet John Jones as fast as I can at any dog price. As fast as I can.
Even the most casual UFC bettor is sort of nodding their head like, yeah, I kind of agree with Lou on that. We left the last one. And here's the thing. You know, UFC has had some very important nights here recently because it's been the only game in town, if you will, when it's been showcased. And so, you know, the sport is going to this is an opportunity to bring in as many new fans, as many new bettors as it's ever going to get in terms of having the stage to itself. We talked about the last big card where it was like, hey, man, I think I won some that I shouldn't have with some of my bets. I think I probably lost a couple that I might have won. I'm not sure in terms of the judging. Now that we're not in Florida, now that we're leaving or we're going to Nevada, are we going to end up, I guess I'm asking you to just crystal ball, am I going to have the same feeling I did as I did after those fights in Jacksonville, or am I going to be much happier with the judging?
I believe you'll be much happier with the judging. I believe the judging in Nevada is well more UFC friendly because they happen to be housed in Las Vegas. I think the judges there are more MMA aware, which is really the biggest issue. And the three states where you really have to watch decisions, And most people in my business know this, New York, Florida, and Texas. And this isn't in one of those states. So I think you're going to see much more integrity in the results, which is not to say something could get fun. Listen, Shukagian and Shevchenko, the ladies fight on this card. It's going to be a split decision. And somebody's going to be unhappy one way or another. But I don't see anything glaring like we saw in a couple fights in Florida.
Yeah, like I hope we don't get that Watterson 30-27 one way, 30-27 the other outcome with the first two judges in that Watterson fight, which she got the short end of in the end. Lou Finocchiaro, Lou, I appreciate it, man. Love the memorabilia on the walls. Thank you for the Roberto Clemente memory. And I'm pretty sure you spelled your name correctly up on that tablet up behind your left shoulder as well. So that's a nice
They've been so good about that lately. That's great. And always appreciate being on with you. And good luck to everyone out there.
Absolutely. Let's flash them up one time as Lou goes out. Thank you, Lou. Once again, at Gamblou, G-A-M-B-L-O-U on Twitter. And here they are. And again, these in terms of the weighting, not exactly in order, but his biggest picks here. Woodley versus Burns. He said probably wait for Woodley. He thinks it might get a better price, maybe. Ivanov versus Sakai. He likes Cyphers versus Dern over 1.5 in the women's fight. Those are the big ones. And then the other two, which for half units, Weaver plus 295 versus Roberts. Royval plus 140 rather versus Elliott. Great stuff from Lou. Chris Felica didn't have a winner in the only race yesterday, but 5 winners in a row the previous 5 days. He's got 7 picks. Count them. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Back
to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
A Numbers Game at VEASAN, proudly brought to you by Manscaped.com, y'all. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VEASAN at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN. It is Gil Alexander live in San Francisco. Let's bring him in. A man who desperately wanted the onside kick rule changed. ESPN's College Game Days. Chris Felica, how you doing, Chris?
Well, what they tried to do was fix a wrong to begin with. They should have never changed the rule to begin with.
That's correct.
So now they're like looking for an option to do something else because you can't go back to the previous rule because they're worried about safety and such stuff. They would have never changed the rule to begin with. You wouldn't have had to worry about this.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You're absolutely right. Shouldn't have changed the rule to begin with. Chris, I'd love to make small talk with you today, but we got 5 minutes to get in about 7 picks. You got 7. Is this right across Gulfstream, Churchill Downs, and Santa Anita?
It is. I felt bad about 3 of the 4 races yesterday being non-starters and then being only gave you 1 yesterday. I feel like I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to go like full tout on you as well. Like if I don't have multiple wins today, I'm giving you the rest of the meat absolutely free as I look to continue my streak of 5 days with at least multiple picks with the winner going. I'm completely kidding, but you get the point. But yeah, it was interesting because I didn't necessarily like go into it thinking I was going to have 5 or 6 or 7 picks. Then I was looking, I'm like, yeah, you got about 30 races over the 3 tracks. So 7, like 1 in every 4 races are really a ridiculous amount to play. So we'll start it off with Gulfstream 2. Second race, the number 8 horse, Special Inclusion, who's 9-5, with a good second in the debut, where sent off at 3-1. There are a couple in here that I think are debuting that are going to be tough, Extinguish and Say Cheese. But again, I like getting behind the horse with experience, and I think Special Inclusion with that outside draw should put Harry Neal, the jockey, in a great spot from the outside. And at 9-5, I do like the short price horse. Then I'm going to go to Gulfstream 5, and the number six horse, Go Jojo Go, is 8-1 in the morning line. Probably won't be that because of Todd Pletcher, who first timer that drew the rail scratched. But again, this is a horse that was is making her second career start. She was favored in her debut, and she did what a lot of first-timers do when they're breaking from a far outside post. They break to the open area because that's what they're used to running around and seeing. So she wound up flipping heels when she tried to get back into the race, and she was all over. But as a result now, I do think you're going to get better than 3-2 or 2-1, whatever she was in her debut. And she's got a really big shot today to break her maiden, the sixth horse, Go Jojo Go. The seventh race, I'm going to get Gulfstream. I'm going to go to the two horse, Apache Brave, who is 3-1. And this horse has all of the trademarks of winning moves from this owner-trainer combination. Second start off the claim for this new barn, off a four-month layoff, add blinkers, drops into an open claimer, and it's a turf sprint. These are like things that this barn does all the time. If we get 2-1 on the horse, I'll be happy, but I'm not going to hold my breath because I think this horse is going to be a standout in this race, Apache Brave, the two horse in the seventh race at Gulfstream. Then I'm going to go to the sixth race at Churchill and go with the number three horse, Dream a Little Dream for You, who's 9-2 on the morning line. This Brad Cox horse, Brook Maiden for Fun, back on the turf, two back. And then the first cry against winners, they put him on dirt and ran a good third. Certainly bred to handle the distance and to handle the dirt. There are a couple others in here that I think are going to take a little bit of money. So while Brad Cox usually does take money at Churchill, I'm thinking right around 4-1 is something that is potentially possible here for Dream a Little Dream of You, the three horse in the sixth race at Churchill. Then I'm going to go to the eighth race at Churchill, the number one horse, Ghoul, who is 8-1 on the morning line. He has run his best two races since moving into the Peter Miller barn. And that's certainly no surprise for people who follow horse racing. It's been 3 months since that race in Saudi Arabia, and now he's back stateside. It looks like there is plenty of speed in this race to set this one up from off the pace at a nice number for a trainer that wins at a pretty good clip in the turf sprint division. And then I got two at Santa Anita for you. We'll start it right off in the first race at Santa Anita with the seven-horse Miss Glorious, who is 2-1. Only one of two horses in the field with experience, had a rail debut, speed and seed, looked set for a win from the outside post. And then in the fifth race, the one-horse Munnings Pilot is a horse who's speed on the turf, stretching out from the rail. I think this horse controls the pace, and I like Munnings Pilot to fight the one horse in the fifth at Santa Anita.
Chris, we love you. We'll run them back later for those who missed it. Chris Velika, thank you, sir. Vinny Maliulo, next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Oh, if you want a slow jam, you've come to the right place. 1-800-KMEL-JAMS. It's Gil Alexander. It is A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Vinny Maliulo, everybody, taking his rightful place here on a Friday. How you doing, Vinny?
Well, let me just say this. I am so proud to be part of the all-Italian lineup this Friday. Coleandro, Finocchiaro, Felica, Maiulo, Lombardi, and Vaccaro on deck. I mean, this is like the San Gennaro feast on VSiN.
Yeah. I don't know. Flatter and Carr made their way on, too. I think we set a record for most guests on a 2-hour show today.
Flatterino and Caro?
Flatterino and Caro. Listen, all Italian radio. You remember the old thing with producer number three, the great Jorge Mondaca. Do you remember the old story where Jorge came to me one day and he said, "Hey Gil, I need a description of the show." And I said to him, I was like, "Listen, Jorge, I don't know. What do you mean?" He's like, "Come on, I need one." And I said, "How about Jews, Greeks, and Italians talking sports?"
The old Mediterranean hour.
Yeah, he says, I can't bring that back to them.
I can't do that.
So, well, never happened.
Well, that's
so
why
we went with analytics instead.
I guess why that's why Jorge was number three. How many are you up to now? What's the over and under?
Danny, are we calling you six? I have no Danny. I don't know if Danny feels comfortable in being called six. It'd be up to Danny in the end. So we'll have to ask Danny.
Danny, don't take a number.
Yeah. I said only multiple of fives. I'm not going to give number. That was the rule.
There you go. Good stuff, buddy. Great to be with you as always, my man.
Hey, let me, I have a whole bunch of things to ask you.
Sure.
Let's start with the hockey stuff because I was mentioning yesterday here on a numbers game that, you know, okay, these different, whatever the market is, there's going to be different. First of all, every sports book has different rules. Then depending on the market, obviously it's going to be different. You know, we're talking about yes, no playoffs versus, you know, futures to win the Stanley covers, divisions, a whole bunch of different things. But you know, one of the things that came up yesterday was specifically with Caesars. They were taking the position that we're not sure if we're going to give the yes and no's in terms of the playoffs because we're going to make it 16 teams. And then this morning, and so I was like, I don't know, is there anything in the rules that says 16? It looks like the playoffs are 24 teams to me. They should pay those out. Then this morning I heard Jeff Davis on Follow the Money this morning. He's like, yeah, I think we're probably going to pay the 24. Well, because I think you kind of have to if they're all playoff teams. But anyway, how are you guys handling this? Because I think it's fascinating to see how it's going to manifest here in the end.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Gil. And again, I always encourage folks to pay attention to not only house rules, but what we also refer to as part of the house rules are stipulations. When you put up certain proposition wagers, you've got to try to take into account possibilities. Right now, we've never had a pandemic stipulation. We'll probably have to tweak some things as we move forward here. Probably more tweaks than we did back in the 80s with baseball games at Wrigley Field, which would get suspended. They would get carried over. All kinds of things happen. So there's the rules and the stipulations in terms of the South Point, and Chris is of the opinion. Chris Andrews, the director, and Michael Gaughan, Ryan Grounie, the GM, saying, listen, you know what? If these teams are anointed as division winners, if they're placed as division winners, then pay the divisions, right? So it's pretty straightforward there. I think the NHL needs to come out and clarify exactly what is happening in terms of are these in fact playoff teams? Is there a play-in to get to 16 teams out of the 24 teams? It sure looks like playoffs to me, and I think that's how we're going to move forward. So all that said, Gil, I mean, we know that now in order to get there, the players and owners have to come to agreement, right, on that format. And I mean, I think it's an interesting proposal. I think it's a proposal that people have supported, particularly not only fans, but the betting public will support it. And I think we'll see that it'll be bet very, very strongly as well. So once they finalize that format, I think you know, kind of leads into another topic that you and I were talking about. I think it's going to greatly impact baseball wagering, depending on what baseball does or does not do. So I know you have some thoughts on that.
Well, two things. One, I love the way you said that about what is being termed the qualifying round in these proposed NHL playoffs, because you said, looks like the playoffs to me. I mean, I would say it in another way. It's certainly not a regular season, right? So if it's not the regular season, what is it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that means it's the playoffs. So baseball is, I'm so glad you brought this up off air. You and I hadn't talked about it beforehand because I had tried asking, Chris Bennett from Circa this when Mike Palm was on Monday, and he was like, I'm not wasting my time with it, Gil. You are wasting your time with it. What you got?
Well, listen, I respect Chris's opinion. I think Chris probably has some frustration there. I mean, we're all frustrated, I think, with certain, certain aspects of the discussions with the players and the owners, especially, we're fans too, right? We want to see it. My personal opinion, Gil, is that if you look from our side of the counter at baseball and baseball of the four major sports is probably number three or had been number three for a long time in terms of handle. So you had football, college and pro. Then you had basketball, in baseball, and then hockey was fourth. I think in recent years, hockey, as we've seen, particularly here in Las Vegas with the success and popularity of the Golden Knights, has really stepped up both in terms of handle and interest, and they both go hand in hand. I think that baseball runs the risk here of winding up possibly behind hockey in terms of not only fan interest, but in betting interest. Now, baseball certainly on a regular season when things are quote unquote normal, by virtue of its season and the length of its season, certainly, you know, gets that extra handle. I mean, the season is twice as long as hockey's. All that said, though, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of sympathy by fans. Now, will they go back to it? Sure. But baseball runs a risk here of a PR disaster, probably worse than back in 94.
Man, do they ever. I mean, I think about it. You're like, oh, they could be fourth in handle. They're about to be 10th in handle if they don't get their act together. Yeah. We'll drill down on this some more coming back. Vinny Maliulo. Literally from behind his desk there at Gone Game. We'll come back right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Always great to have Vinny close out the week with us right here at the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Don't forget, now's the time to become a VSiN Plus subscriber. It is free. Don't cost you nothing. You won't have to decide what you want to do, pay or cancel, until at least one of the major sports returns. Looks like hockey might be first, but who knows? Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. It's Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Vinny Maliulo there in Las Vegas. By the way, if you're scoring at home, Vinny, I think what we got after the during the break is that Danny Burke has decided not to take a number. I'm not sure if he just doesn't want any part of it, part of the show itself, or if he's just scared of taking the number specifically because he knows then that number goes to another number. Not really sure, but he's not taking the number.
You know, in our business, there's a lot of superstitions, and I think he loves the position, but the number is just, listen. You know,
it doesn't,
it hasn't worked out.
So. Feels like a deli counter, doesn't it? Some sort
right.
of.
I mean, it's like rolling the dice, and one of them goes off the table. Same dice, please, right?
I say this every time we get on this subject. At some point, it's probably me, Vinny. It's probably me.
No, Gil.
All right, let's review all our picks before I get back in here with Vinny, because we're all across the sports gamut here today, Vinny, and this will segue nicely into your perspective. First, Paul Carr was on the show for Bundesliga picks. He's got Leverkusen today at -145 against Freiburg. I should really go with a heavy German accent when I say these. And then this weekend, the rare draw, Schalke Werder Bremen. That's how you pronounce it, I think, Vinny. That's his other pick in Bundesliga. Then who was next? For goodness sakes. Then we had Jeff Colleandro. He didn't really have – he's going to have some head-to-heads that he's going to post on Twitter. So there were no specific head-to-heads. He did throw out a name or two, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, to win this weekend as two guys he's going to look at. But then in earnest, we really got back into the picks, I should say, in earnest, with Lou Finocchiaro, UFC. His biggest positions this weekend, Woodley in the main event. Wait for the price. Right now it's about -180-ish. I know we're showing -175 on the screen, but it's probably a little north of there. But he says, wait, you might get a better price on Woodley. Ivanov in the co-main event, -104 versus Sakai. And then if you skip down a couple, in ladies fight here, Cyphers versus Dern. He likes the over 1.5 there at -125. And then sort of half unit plays, if you will, to use that parlance. He likes two dogs, Weaver +295 versus Roberts, Royval +140 versus Elliott. And then there was Chris Felica, who has given us at least one winner in horse racing, 5 out of the last 6 days. Yesterday, it only ended up being a one shot, didn't work out. But he's got no short of 7 picks today across 3 racetracks. And I know this is close to your home here, Vinny. You love horses. At Gulfstream Park, number 2 race, he's got the number 8 horse special inclusion, 9 to 5. The 5th race at Gulfstream Park, the number 6, Go Jojo Go, 8 to 1. And then the 7th race at Gulfstream, number 2 horse, Apache Brave, which is a short shot, right now, 3 to 1. Then in Churchill Downs, at Churchill Downs, the 6th race, number 3, Dream a Little Dream of You, 9 to 2. Then also at Churchill Downs today, and the 8th race, the number 1 horse, Ghoul, as in ghoulish, as in macabre. That's French, by the way. 8 to 1. I don't know. Seriously. So, it's time for the pandemic to end. I'm
like
going
being
crazy
on the UN on this show.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Then it's Santa Anita, the 1st race. It is really. It's like the Security Council at the UN. The 1st race at Santa Anita, the number 7 horse, Miss Glorious, at 2 to 1. I know a girl named Glorious. And then Santa Anita, 5th race, number 1 horse, Munnings Pilot. So 7 picks in horse racing today. And as Chris pointed out, if you think he's just going nuts, there's actually around 30 races, I believe, going on across those 3 racetracks. So maybe not as, action junkie-ish as you might think otherwise. But those run the gamut. And so then we bring in Vinny. And I know racing is sort of, not sort of, literally around the corner at the South Point from sports.
Yes.
But UFC will rule the roost this weekend. That's pretty much the lock.
Yeah, a couple of things, Skill. So, first of all, Jeff does a great job. I know, especially after he sees the qualifying rounds. Paul, Lou, Chris, and Ron Flatter, when they're giving out picks, listen, of course, nobody wins every selection, but certainly respect the work that all those guys do, because it's well thought out and it's nothing arbitrary. So credit to all those guys and the work that they do in their respective sports. In terms of horse racing, Gil, before I get to the UFC, I just want to point out, too, that horse racing, once resorts open here in Las Vegas and throughout Nevada, looks like Thursday, the 4th, is going to be the day. So next week, then races will certainly be offered as well. In fact, I was at the South Point yesterday with Chris Andrews and Mary Jungers, the racebook manager, and I'll be over there this afternoon getting things ready. I'm here at Las Vegas Dissemination Company, Gone Gaming. Everything is up and running. The tote system is up just for its for a test and connectivity and things like that. So horse racing will be an important part of the offerings next week as resorts open again here in Nevada, as they always are. And in terms of the UFC, you pointed out, Gil, what we've seen with the UFC is tremendous action, because it's the focus. The UFC cards that have taken place during this this pandemic situation have been received extremely well by the betting public. Lots of parlays. In fact, quite a bit of favorite money this week. The only dog that's getting money right now is Abreu. But you see, as the wagers are coming in, there are straight bets and lots of parlays. We've seen, Gil, the events that are of the focus of the day get more betting attention than they normally would. And I think it's understandable, right? They're on television. People are enjoying. They want an opportunity to bet. And this isn't enormous numbers individually, but accumulatively, we're talking, over 6 figures wagered. The card is not, in the case of the UFC or Bundesliga or NASCAR, they're not getting competing with and getting lost with baseball and NHL and NBA playoffs right now. So the folks have migrated to them. We love the fact that the folks have done so. Happy to offer them, and the response has been extremely, extremely strong. You and I were talking off air last week's golf event, highlighted, headed by Tiger and Phil. It was so popular, Gil, and I think that the Brady Manning factor added to it as well, but it outhandled last year's Phil and Tiger match here in Las Vegas, combined with the week before's event, the foursome that went the week before in the other charity event, combined. Yeah. So pretty strong.
That And it's exactly what you're talking about, right? It's the confluence of events. It's standalone. Yep. It's the fact that we are fiending to bet. And it was also the celebrity of that, right? I mean, that had a lot to do with it. If it's you and me playing and, you know, nobody's betting on it. Hate to say it, Vinny, but we don't have the cachet.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Gil. You and I would bet on it.
Yeah, well, you and I would, yes.
We'd be out there. We'd have some action.
We'd pretty much bet on anything, wouldn't we, Vinny? You and I. So let me leave you with this. You just mentioned June 4th, which, by the way, happens to be my birthday. June 4th is when this
happy birthday,
reopens
buddy, in advance.
Well, you know, we're not there quite yet, but thank you. So this is when it all reopens. So here's the multiple choice for you. Do you anticipate when the doors of the South Point Hotel open? Let's just talk about the race book specifically. Because I would imagine the casino will get some serious juice. But in the race book, do you anticipate A, still a ghost town with tumbleweed, B, a trickle, or C, complete bum rush, and it's just going to be like business as usual?
Well, I think C is certainly the most realistic and the most likely scenario, Gil, although there will be certain protocols in place. I mean, we've had to, adjust the seating capacity down as all areas of the casino, casino floor and property have been adjusted. So I think you'll see a lot more apps being utilized as well. But I think the fact we're very proud at the South Point to have the ability to space things out, right? Because we've got a separate race book, a separate sports book. And then, by the way, we've got some lounge areas adjacent to both of those books. So I think, you know, we won't be able to have people, you know, elbow to elbow, but I think the response is going to be very, very strong.
Yeah. My failed attempt to get you to say the phrase bum rush. I was really hoping you would say C, bum rush. But you you let me
know. I'm elbow to elbow.
Yeah. First thing I do, I'm taking out a tape measure. I'm taking out that tape measure. If people still have tape measures, by the way, I'm taking it out. First thing I do when I get there is measuring the 6 feet, because God help you if that's short of 6 feet, Penny.
No hug skill. Come on.
Oh, we're hugging. Dude, that's the main thing I want to get across to people, because as much as I've been cautious in all this, we're hugging, Vinny. We're not doing that's that right, thing
buddy.
Where we're not hugging. You and I are hugging.
That's right, over buddy. We'll look forward to seeing everybody next week in person.
Yeah, man. Like, look, this is a, as you pointed out, it's a surreal time. It's a serious time, right? So many lives lost. Just a time in our lives that we never could have anticipated. But I think, look, life as a society and as an economy now requires us to dip our toes back into it, because that creates a whole nother set of problems. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that we can do that and everybody stays as safe as possible, man, I can't wait. I'm really excited. I'm excited to see you personally.
Well, Gil, appreciate it, buddy. And we kid around a lot, but we're certainly going to be responsible in everything that we do with our coworkers and our guests. Let's remember this. We always talk about it. There's a camaraderie in race and sports of people. So I think people are going to look forward to interacting with each other smartly, a little bit differently, but certainly I think they're going to welcome everybody. We'll welcome everybody back, and I think the patrons will welcome each other back as well.
All right, Vinny. Stay safe, man. Look forward to seeing you.
Take care, buddy.
Vincenzo Maliulo. Vinny Maliulo right here on the Numbers Game at Veasan. Thank you to Vinny. Thank you to Chris Felica. Thank you to Ron Flatter. Thank you to Paul Carr. Thank you to Jeff Coleandro. Thank you to Lou Finicaro. Thank you to Danny Burke. Thank you to Triv, Ken, everybody behind the glass. Good luck with all your bets this weekend across the sports landscape of Veasan, the Sports Betting Network.